Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, Bob engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, November the 16th, 2018. We are live weekdays during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's intelligent voice and also Tucson's trusted local news and talk. We are local talk now from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. with our new owners, Bustos Media, who have been with us now for about 2 weeks. We had the changeover 2 weeks ago yesterday. Things going very well. A lot of excitement here at the station. The new studio is being built about a few feet away from us. They take a break during the noon hour, so there is no construction noise. Our media partners, a big shout-out to Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, the Tucson Media Group, and its portfolio of Tucson-based publications, including Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Adelita Grijalva is with us. Ms. Grijalva was elected last week to a fifth four-year term on the board of the Tucson Unified School District. Adelita, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the re-election. Layla Counts were the top vote getters. Actually, Layla was the top vote getter.
She was.
Do you know her?
I do. We had an opportunity to talk about a month before I decided to run, and then we've had a couple forums together and an opportunity to speak since the election, and so I'm optimistic that she is eager to learn, is going to start visiting different departments, working with the superintendent to, you know, check out things that you don't normally get to see when you're campaigning. But those are all really important departments that we all have to know and systems that we have to understand. And so I'm very, very optimistic that there will be a much more peaceful, cohesive board.
There was a real campaign that people did not. There was a group of people who did not want you to have a fifth term.
Right.
We all saw the signs.
I lost the sign war on that one.
Yeah, five with a line through it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they so against what you do?
Well, and I think it's interesting because to say it's a group is a bit of an exaggeration. Really, from the finance reports that I saw, two funders and really two people that were being very vocal. One of them, the two funders, two contributors, were both former campaign managers for Mark Stegeman. So I don't know how far-fetched it is to say that there was a big push to have a change in the board majority that would be more open to one board member's views. And so I think that was a lot of it. And much of the, you know, kind of the rhetoric of what they were saying, there were two other board members on the board during all of the closures, during, you know, enrollment loss. And so I think voters basically saw through the fact that to blame that on all one person. And in light of Red for Ed and how much we talk about funding issues and the lack of public education funding in the state of Arizona, all of that coupled together, it wasn't as successful as they might have liked.
Dr. Stegeman has put out a list of what he thinks there were that over the past 21 months or 22 months, he says that we've really missed the boat on the approval of a physically unsound budget. And he also was saying that blocking the superintendent's proposal for a high school boundary review. What do you say to Dr. Stegeman about that?
Well, actually, the boundary review had to do with Dr. Stegeman's desire to change the boundary and go through that process. And so what I heard very clearly and what passed unanimously last Tuesday was a boundary review that would not involve school closures, but it's part of the required process through the unitary status plan. And what I wanted to know is what is the intended goal? What's the outcome that we're looking for? Because closing a school is not something that that I wanted to explore, and a majority of the board didn't want to do that either. So we did pass it unanimously, as long because it is required by the Unitary Status Plan in order to increase diversity in racially concentrated schools.
He also said that holding a $1 million off-year bond election that was doomed to fail.
Well, interestingly, that also passed 3-2. And so when you have two board members sitting on a governing board that are being very vocal against a process, that might have something to do with the failure. But the needs are very dramatic and urgent in our district. And so it was one of those calculated risks that didn't pay out and didn't work out. But I do think that my hope is that this community will support a bond, because the needs for our schools are great.
Rachel Sedgwick, your colleague on the board, was on the program yesterday, and she was saying that she's very much against converting over to a ward system for the election. Are there advantages in your eyes to going to a ward system?
Well, yes, I believe that I am the only person of color serving on the board, and the only Latina in a predominantly Latino district that was running. And so I do think representation is important, and I think that's why we don't have at-large members of Congress. We don't have at-large city council or board of supervisors. There is a reason. And I think that, 220 square miles, the needs in our TUSD community are diverse, from the far east to the far south, and having representation that would reflect those communities, I think, is important. The other thing I think logistically would be nice is if I were representing a ward, I might represent 16 schools. And so my involvement and opportunity to really directly engage with the community, be available for like awards ceremonies. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm really jealous of with my colleagues on other districts, that they get to go to every single high school graduation. They get to participate in every single event at every school. And because we have so many, it makes it a little more difficult for some of us, especially I think all of the board members now sitting on the board have jobs. Like 9-to-5 jobs.
How do you change something like that?
Well, it would have to actually be a state law. And uh-huh. So what we asked our lobbyists, our representatives up at the state, is to just sort of get a feel for whether that was something people would be interested in doing. And so what I thought was really interesting is that the pushback from Ms. Sedgwick on the phone anyway was that this was very, this was motivated by politics, and we're sitting here talking to a lobbyist that goes to the state representing the district. So unfortunately, public education has become much more political than it should be. But this is just to ask if there would be bipartisan support to do that. And I have heard from other legislators and state officials that would be something that they would be interested in looking at, if nothing else, just to see what it would look like. And that's all the request was.
Would it be a difficult thing to change that?
If there was support for it, no. Uh-huh. And then just kind of looking at what it is. And so board members that are currently seated on the boards, we would look to see what wards they would be in, and we wouldn't have to run again for another office. It would just be new members coming on would be representing different areas. The other issue is that the district is so large and so vast that it's about the size of a congressional district. And so for a lot of, let's say, a father who wants to run, whose child is in school and just feels like he wants to really contribute, it becomes really overwhelming to try to think of the kind of campaign and expertise you would have in order to run a campaign this size.
790-2040. If you have any questions, like a caller who did not want to go on the air, that's fine. He or she has translated their question over to Bob, and Bob has just put it up on the screen. It's a she. she is asking why the early learning centers are being kept open when they've been losing millions of dollars since they first opened.
Well, I am a strong proponent of early learning and preschool opportunities in our community. And when I started on the board, I didn't have any children. Quickly, my daughter came, and she's 3, and I'm looking for a preschool opportunity in TUSD, and there weren't any. And so Dr. Sanchez, when he came on, and also is coming from districts that have, free childcare for employees, was looking at how do we not only provide this service to the community, but look at other options. Some of our closed schools, so we renovated them, changed them. They are now 501c3. They're now 3-star. So there's funding opportunities through Families First. And I just feel like we need to give them some time to be able to become financially solvent. And really, they're very close to breaking even. And so it's not, it is an investment, but I feel it's an investment that pays off. And over 75% of the students that are attending those preschools come to our TUSD schools. So it is an opportunity for us to capture families earlier, talk to them about the wonderful programs that we have in TUSD, and keep them as students. And so it is a feeder for our kinders, and I think it's important.
So you think they should be kept open?
Absolutely should.
All right, let's take our break right here. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to us by my favorite bakery in town, Adelita. I love bakery goods.
They are delicious.
Yeah, I get on the scale. Okay, the bakery goods. Yes, they do put a couple of pounds on you, but oh my goodness, they're so good. Yep. And the bakery I'm talking about, Adelita, is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve, the owner and the chief baker, they get up so early in the morning to do their baking.
Yep, they do have to get up early, but I've never actually tasted the Kringle, but it sounds delicious.
Oh, yes, especially, doesn't that kind of have a holiday feel to it with Thanksgiving coming up? So if you're in the neighborhood at northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, go by right now. How about lunch? My favorite is that hot turkey sandwich on the, what they call the rustic bread. Oh, it's so good. And then I have a brownie or one of the chocolate chip brownie cookies that Steve is doing. It basically, it's like a chocolate chip brownie, and it is so good. Anyway, go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link there to Mona's Danish Bakery, and in about a half hour, I'll be telling you about what Steve and the team are doing for Thanksgiving. All those wonderful pies. What's your favorite pie?
I like lemon.
Lemon pie.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah,
I think Steve could probably accommodate you.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Thanks.
Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Very appropriate bumper music. Only the Beginning from one of my favorite groups back in the day, Chicago. And it's appropriate because it's a whole new beginning here at KVOI. We are local, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. You want local talk? We've got it. We believe in this community, and we're going to let everybody have their say. And that's what it's about. Adelita Grijalva is with us. She is just been reelected to a fifth four-year term on the TUSD Governing Board. Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, joins us now on the live line. Sarah, how are you?
I am doing well, Bill, and I am sorry for the delay.
Oh, that's okay.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always good to hear from you. And I know you have some questions for Adelita, so go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Adelita. I guess the biggest question I have and that I've heard other people say is, what will it take for the chemistry on the board, the relationships that have gone on for years in some cases with the longtime members, you and Mark Stegeman, what will it take to kind of reconfigure the relationships, and is that even possible?
Well, interestingly enough, I did send, I tried to call Dr. Stegeman, didn't answer, so I sent him an email and basically said, I would really love it if we can work together to try to bring down the negativity,
the toxic environment.
Toxicity. It can be very toxic. And just by simple things, I mean, just starting out with acknowledging each other in a room, like saying hello and having a hello back and pleasantries and just, you know, common decency kind of things. And his response was, I don't know how that's going to help the district. And so I think that, you know, had other board members, like I had the opportunity, Ms. Foster and Mr. Juarez at the time, and Ms. Counts has indicated that she also wants to take advantage of the opportunity to go to National School Board Association trainings. Though you talk about how there is a direct correlation with how the governing board functions and the outcomes for the district. And it's very clear, and there's, you know, a lot of data to back it up. And so my hope is that we would move forward. There has been a lot of ugliness. I mean, at some point, after you've been cursed at multiple times, I don't know how often you can go back and revisit, but I am willing to try, but I can't do it by myself. So, for a long time, I'm the minority figuratively and literally on the governing board. And so my hope is that we're going to be able to at least be more civil, cordial with each other, and maybe hopefully that will bring down a lot of the rhetoric that comes at us during meetings too.
And Sarah, isn't that part of the image problem for TUSD, that the public sees this toxic environment? Wouldn't you say that's part of it, Sarah?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think with any school board or any kind of elected board, the leadership at the top, and if the people in charge can't even get along, how can you have confidence in the direction of the organization, whether that's company or an elected office? It sets so much of the tone, and I think that it's easy to get wrapped up in the soap opera kind of aspects of it. Alita, I was wondering, what do you think will, when Michael Hicks leaves his position, when, you know, he's he's leaving the board, what will, what change will that, his absence have?
Well, and I think that it just changes the dynamic because, you know, Mr. Hicks and I actually get along fine. I mean, you know, we check in with each other and can talk to each other. And we've had some pretty vocal disagreements, like fundamental issues that we just do not agree on. But we can separate those things. And I think that that's something that we have to remember. But I believe my hope is that Layla coming in, not having any kind of history, coming in really without working with any other of, you know, I mean, she just is really independent in that regard, being able to be the top vote getter, get the support that she needed to get elected. And the biggest issue that she talked about was being able to work collaboratively. So my hope is that we're going to be able to do that. Our backgrounds, as far as, you know, restorative practices and a lot of that are very similar. And she is a mom to two young children. I'm a mom to three. And so my hope is that the dynamic change is going to be different.
Let's see if we can get Matt's question in. Matt has called us at 790-2040. Matt, you're with Adelita Grijalva, Bill, and Sarah. So go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, congratulations, Adelita.
Thank
on,
you.
Your new term. I just wanted to ask again about the status ongoing with the county on the monies that the legislature took away or imposed upon the county, and then the county chose not to to institute. Is there going to be a lawsuit? And what does that mean for your funding? When does that impact? It's been about a while, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it.
Right.
Second thing is, is I know that you're thinking about doing another strategic plan, or at least that's the word on the street. I would recommend, you know, in the Army, we have three levels of planning: tactical for crisis, operational for short to midterm, and then strategic. I think you guys are beyond the need for strategic planning. I think you really need to focus on operational, and that would be 3 to 9 months out.
Okay.
Anyway, good luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, two-part question. Anything with the lawsuit?
Well, I don't know how much of it I can talk about because we have been briefed as a governing board. But
so
it's
stuff
been
is
by,
going on behind the scenes.
There is stuff going on, and as soon as we can make that public, our superintendent will do that, absolutely. And the other has to do with the planning. So the strategic plan that we had was short-term, mid, and then long-term, 5 years. So we would be ending the five-year anyway. So what I'd asked the superintendent to look at, and it, you know, the strategic plan just sort of fell away 2 years ago, is to look at the, you know, what 400 members of this community plus kind of went through a whole process to outline what it was that were priorities and see how we can resurrect that, change it, modify it, because it was created 5 years ago. Obviously, we need to do that. But I do agree that we have some real short-term financial goals that we have to hit. We are very near a crisis. We do not have any carry forward. And this is the first time in the nearly 16 years that I've been on the board that we've been in this position. I actually requested an item to require carry forward because that wasn't something that any other superintendent had requested, but Dr. Trujillo did. And so I was happy to oblige because we do need to do that. And I agree that we need short-term, midway, and then long-term goals. But the outcomes of that strategic plan resulted in 21 of our schools moving up a letter grade. I mean, that work doesn't happen overnight, and so I'm very optimistic.
Sarah, there was some good news on the enrollment that I wanted to bring up, because enrollment, as you know, Sarah, you've been around here a long time. I remember the day when TUSD had, I don't know, 60, 70,000?
65,000.
65,000. Yeah. Yeah, one of the largest kind of urban school districts in the United States. But Sarah, are you concerned also about this enrollment declining?
Well, yeah, of course. I think that, I mean, you can look at it a couple different ways. You can see that with the advance of charter schools and the open enrollment throughout the community where TUSD used to be kind of contained by the desegregation court order. People have choices, and I think that it is that can be a very good thing. I think it can also be something that isn't necessary just because the school is a charter school or a private school or a public traditional school doesn't mean that every one of those type of schools are of a particular quality. So I think that it's important to note that the enrollment has been going down. I think part of that is just demographic because it's not across the, I mean, it is in the district total, but TUSD is so big that it's the northeast side is very different than the southwest side, for example. So I think it's something that the district has needed to target for a long time. And I think it's also important to know that sometimes kids will leave for middle school, but then come back into the district for high school. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what, Adelita, you think is something that hasn't been done that can be done at this point.
Well, just like when I needed, when my own family needed preschool opportunities, and those have, you know, tripled since I've been on the board, my daughter now started middle school. And so there really has to be a focus. There's also going to be, my father's been pushing on the federal side a focus for middle schools, because I think it is that area that people just kind of forget. And so we have so many configurations. We have K-8, we have, you know, we have some middle schools in town that are only 7 and 8. And so what does that look like? But we do have young people leaving and coming back. The other issue we have is they leave and stay in an outside school outside of TUSD to the 100th day. That school gets paid, and then those schools refer those young people back to TUSD. And that is something that I think that those districts should lose a portion of that funding if they're not going to be able to educate the child for the whole year. You shouldn't get paid for it if they're not going to stay with you. And that's a big issue for us. But we do have very comprehensive services that, unfortunately, enough people don't talk about. And I think that, you know, as you mentioned, we get a lot of attention. There are other districts that have the same struggles that we do, but they don't have, you know, media and live news cameras at every single one of their meetings. And so, you know, I think there has to be a balance where the top news story can't always be negative about the district. But we did gain from early projections, we gained about 400. And so it looks like the enrollment loss this year would be 1,200. Last year it was 600. The year before it was 850. And so we were cutting the enrollment losses. And I think we just have to focus on that, look at where we're losing students. And some of that is in the early grades, which is why I keep pushing so hard that preschool is really a way to come into the district.
So some of the hemorrhaging is slowing down a little bit.
Here's the hope, yes. And I hope that the more positive we talk about the district and really highlight the wonderful programs that we have, more families will give us a chance to start with.
All right, Adelita Grijalva, thank you very much for coming, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sarah, stick around if you can. Jim Nintzel's with us also on the live line, and we're going to talk about Jim's cover story about what he gleaned out of the election. So a lot to talk about on the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday roundtable is next with Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star and Jim Nintzel, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted local news and talk station. Local talk now from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. We are your local talk station for sure. It's time for the roundtable portion of our program. Sarah Garrett Gasson sticks with us from our interview with Adelita Grijalva. Sarah is the editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Jim Nintzel's joining us, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. And Jim, your cover story, which you did this week, appropriately enough, because after all, you didn't get off the bus just yesterday and have been covering politics for a long time. And you have our senator-elect cinema on the cover of the Tucson Weekly. So my question to you and Sarah, is Arizona now officially a purple state? Jim Nintzel.
Well, we'll see in the cycles to come, but I would say that Arizona is probably going to be in play in the 2020 election. There's a lot of people out there thinking that's the case, and of course it's all going to depend on who the nominees are in 2020, but I think we saw a rejection of the Donald Trump style of politics with the voters' decision to elect Kyrsten Sinema over Martha McSally, who obviously moved quite a bit into Donald Trump's corner as part of this campaign, as she probably had to survive a primary, given where politics are these days in the Republican Party. You saw what happened to Jeff Flake and John McCain when they tried to stand up against Donald Trump, and certainly it has pretty much ended Jeff Flake's political career for the moment, and John McCain went back and forth with him, but it ended up weakening John McCain more than it strengthened or more than it weakened Donald Trump. So I think it's going to be real interesting to watch what happens in Arizona, but it certainly broke a 10-year drought to see candidates win state office statewide with the Secretary of State's race, which I think is now going to go Katie Hobbs' way, and the Superintendent of Public Instruction, and even a Corporation Commission seat. So it's been a long time since Democrats could say that, and almost quarter century since they've elected a Democrat to serve in the U.S. Senate.
Sarah, are we purple?
I don't think we're quite purple. Okay. Or we might be purple with temporary, I don't know. I'm hoping it's not like that kind of wash away invisible ink purple. Jim's right that the real test will come in future elections. I think this is a really good sign that voters have picked kind of a mix of people. It hasn't been the strong Republican majority domination that we've seen in state offices for so long. So I think it's good to mix up the ideas and the people in positions of power. And I am hopeful that this means that we can get some new energy and different ideas and find some common ground.
Well, we may be purple or getting purple statewide, Jim Nenzel, but certainly here in Pima County, Tucson has kind of reinforced its Democratic roots and is solid blue, correct?
I think so. You know, you saw Todd Klotfelter, the only Republican in the Arizona House of Representatives in southern Arizona, lose his seat on election night. You saw Ann Kirkpatrick resoundingly defeat Leah Marquez Peterson for the seat for Martha McSally's or in the race for Martha McSally's seat. And you know, I think one thing we should underline in this bill is a lot of this goes back to national mood and, you know, the effect that Obama had on the state, put the Republicans in the driver's seat, and they were able to dominate state politics throughout his administration. Having Trump in the White House seems to have had a different effect here in the state. So what's going on at the national level, I think, really filters down. A lot of these races have now become pretty nationalized, even if they're for state office or for the federal congressional offices. You used to have a lot more split votes where people might vote against a president but vote for their own congressman if it were a different political party, and I think you're seeing less and less of that moving forward.
Jim, you mentioned big changes in the points you brought up in your cover story. I think you had about 11 points that you took away from the election about big changes coming to TUSD. And we just had Adelita Grijalva, who was reelected to a fifth four-year term. We have Layla Counts, who was the top vote getter. So it's going to be interesting, Jim and Sarah, now with this first meeting in January for the board, when they will swear in Adelita to the fifth term and Layla to her first count. Where does Layla go? Does she go to the faction, the Stegeman Rachel Sedgwick faction, or to the Adelita Crystal Foster segment? That's going to be very telling to see how this board will evolve, Sarah, in the coming year.
Yes, well, I hope that, like any new board member coming into a position where something is so their colleagues are already so divided, I'm hoping, and she's talked about this, the need to be independent of either kind of faction. And while she may lean one way or the other, because there are very different, it's not just personalities between the Stegeman faction and the Adelita Grijalva faction. They're very different philosophies and way of looking at things. So I think that philosophically, Layla Counts probably leans more with the Adelita Grijalva and Crystal Foster way of looking at things. But for her to be successful, I think she's going to have to be independent, so she doesn't get roped into the ongoing drama that takes up so much oxygen in TUSD.
Jim, any comment about TUSD?
Well, you know, TUSD politics are complicated. The district has so many challenges ahead of it, and this board has been pretty fractious over, I was going to say the last few years, but it probably even goes back further. So it will be very interesting to watch how Layla ends up voting on this board, but I think Mark Stegman's going to find himself on the wrong end of votes more often than not, the wrong end of the majority more often than not going forward.
Pima County voters don't like taxes, or most taxes anyway, do they, Jim? As very evident by pretty soundly defeating the Pima County bond program for moving forward. Yes, they say they don't trust the board, but that's not going to get the roads fixed, is it?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the roads in the city of Tucson are getting better and better because the voters here supported a bond package and they supported the temporary 10-year sales tax to help fund road repairs. And you're seeing a lot of work done in the city of Tucson. And it's kind of ironic because I bet when we actually map out who voted for these bonds and who didn't, you'll see more support within the city of Tucson than within the outlying areas of Pima County, which means the voters in the outlying areas basically voted against a bond that they would have fixed the roads in their areas. And it seems as though the people who gripe the most about the roads in this town are the least willing to actually pay for fixing them. City of Tucson voters also supported their parks bond and are willing to reinvest in their parks. So I think we're going to see some much better quality of life. I know there's going to be a splash pad at my neighborhood park now, so I'm looking forward to being able to take my kid over there.
Sarah, we had the chair of the board on the program of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. He expressed, that being Richard Elias, he expressed continued confidence in Chuck Huckleberry. So there's a lot of pointing among some people, pointing fingers of who's to blame about this. Richard Elias said it was just a poorly run campaign by the folks that were pushing for this, the yes vote people. That was his opinion.
Well, I think that Chuck Huckleberry is somewhat like Nancy Pelosi in that he is a kind of a poster image of what is wrong with the other side, in quotes. I think that Chuck Huckleberry has run the county as administrator for a very long time. If you follow him and what he does, he's very methodical. He has he has a wealth of knowledge, but there are people in the community and led by some on the board of supervisors themselves who just cannot abide Mr. Huckleberry for whatever reason, and they tend to graft every dissatisfaction they have onto him. And so if there is something that they don't like, then it's Chuck Huckleberry's fault. He's become kind of an image rather than a human in some ways politically. So I think that Jim's right. The people who crab about the roads the most are also among those who are just utterly convinced, evident, notwithstanding, that Chuck Huckleberry is some evil Wizard of Oz with machinations behind the scenes, and so they distrust anything that has to do with him, and there you go. So I don't know how much of a campaign would have made a difference. I think the visibility was very low of the campaign. It wasn't, there were some billboards, things like that, but it wasn't a very active campaign. So I do think Richard Elias is probably right along those lines.
All right. Jim, final word, and I got to run.
Oh, you know, I think Chuck Huckleberry is actually one of the smartest guys who's ever run a county here. He's been doing this for 20 years, and I think Sarah's right. He's very methodical. He goes about long-term problem solving. He's the ability to get the county hospital under control, to take the steps that were needed to save Raytheon in this community, and many other similar efforts to build a better and more diversified economy, are slow but sure, but he obviously has been vilified from a lot of people on the right.
Jim Nenzel, thank you very much. We'll look for your work at the Tucson Weekly, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, look for your work at the Star. Thank you both.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
It was a pleasure, and a happy Thanksgiving to all your listeners.
Thank you very much, and the same to you, Jim, and your family, and same to you, Sarah. Happy Thanksgiving, and all of our listeners. Speaking of, Jim leads me beautifully into Mona's Danish Bakery, because I do want to talk about Thanksgiving and Mona's. Now is the time to order those rolls for your table, for your holiday table, and the pastries for Thanksgiving morning. How about a quiche to brighten the table? I would strongly suggest visiting Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Go by, talk with Steve, the owner and chief baker. Tell him what you want for Thanksgiving. 579-1959 is their number, and the website, monasdanishbaker.com. We'll be right back with checking out what's going on this weekend with Matt Russell right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. That's our new weekend watch. Bump music, the bumper music, stir it up. A little reggae music here on the Buckmaster Show to kick off the weekend with Matt Russell Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, a weekend watch presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only a three-hour drive from Silver City. It's a perfect time of year right now over in the high country. Why not? A lot of folks going to be off around the Thanksgiving holiday. Why not do a little outing over in historic Silver City? Lots of recreation opportunities, great places to stay. The starting place, southwestnewmexico.org for the places to stay and some really nice places and the things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Mr. Matt Russell, who was honored yesterday, last night at an event. Some of the top chefs in town honoring Matt for all he does for the food and beverage community. Thank you, Matt.
Well, it was an amazing night. Chef Ken Harvey up at Lowe's Ventana hosted this event, and I am the most undeserving person for this honor. I mean, the real rock stars are these hardworking chefs, but it was a spectacular evening. My heart is full, for sure.
Well, I'm sure the food was very good, too. Hey, it's another Friday, another weekend watch, and another opening.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks since we've announced a new restaurant opening, but the newest one is well worth the wait. It's a new place called Tito and Pep, and it's at 4122 East Speedway. Now, owner chef John Martinez just opened his doors a few days ago. Already there is major buzz. This concept is contemporary neighborhood bistro with regional Southwest influences. I can smell the mesquite already. And the chef is pleased to be returning home to Tucson after several years at Tony Eateries like Cafe Martinique in the Bahamas. Sounds like they have all the elements to make a memorable meal, so I say give Tito and Pep a try this weekend.
Things cooling off, time for some chili.
It is chili season, and I tell you what, one way to get your fill is at the 8th annual Amado Chili Cook-Off tomorrow from 9 to 3 at the Territory Ranch just off the Frontage Road. Down in Amado, you'll enjoy multiple varieties of this classic bowl of red, plus a classic car show, live music, free admission. All you have to do is pay for the chili samples. Now, I don't know where you are on the controversial issue around beans, Bill, but it's often said that people who put beans in their chili don't know beans about chili. Chili, do you have a position?
I do not. I will be in. I'll take the neutral. The Switzerland of talk radio. I'd be neutral about chilies.
Very wise. So,
it's harvest time for sure with Thanksgiving week upon us.
Yeah, and if you ever wondered what the desert actually tastes like, now's your chance at the first annual Sonoran Harvest Taste the Desert Festival. It's at the Desert Museum tomorrow night starting at 6:30, and it's going to feature foods that are actually found right here in the Sonoran Desert with instructions on how you can incorporate them into your daily life. You'll be doing this while sipping craft beers and tequilas and watching as local chefs kind of battle it out to be crowned the Sonoran Harvest Queen or King. It doesn't get any better than that. Tickets start at just $20, and you can grab them now at desertmuseum.org.
Matt Russell, again, thanks for all you do for the food and beverage and the culinary scene here in town. Very much appreciate it.
It is indeed my pleasure, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Matt Russell with us, the host, longtime host of our Weekend Watch on The Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music is composed by the fine young German, Munich, Germany composer, Christophan. There's a link to Christophan's work at buckmastershow.com. My thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and everyone here at Bustos Media and KVOI, including engineer-producer Bob Dio, the entire team really doing such a great job making things happen under this new local talk format. Have a great weekend.